Right, what does the Bible say about that? Has been our series on Wednesday nights. I do know a pastor who preached 10 years a series entitled, What Does the Bible Say About That? I don't intend to go that long on this series, but so far we have looked at what does the Bible say about friendship? What does the Bible say about anger? What does the Bible say about attitude? What does the Bible say about appearance? Most of those start with A. The Lord wanted me to preach that message on friendship to start. But tonight, I want to preach on a subject that's very close to you. And I want to preach on this subject. What does the Bible say about your body? About your body. I didn't ask you what you think about your body, or what your spouse thinks, or what other people think. But what does the Bible say about your body? I promise you, when you leave the lesson tonight, you'll think about yourself differently than when you came in here. This has the opportunity to be life-changing on your focus, life-changing in your emotion, life-changing in your attitude, life-changing in how you see yourself, life-changing in your time and your investments and your money, and all of these things that have to do with our body. And so we will begin in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, and I want to give you 3 quick thoughts about your body that I hope and pray you'll write down. And then I have a understanding, for especially for a Christian, about our bodies tonight. I beg you to take notes on the back of your prayer bulletin. I beg you to take notes somehow. There's no way I will get to all of the scriptures, be able to turn you there, but you'll be able to go back and you'll be able to visit these in your personal study. The first thing that I want you to know tonight about your body is that your body was created by God. Okay? Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 are important verses here. You should know these. This is the Bible's true account of creation. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God, what are those next 2 words? Created man. He created man in his own image. In the image of God, created him. Now say this last phrase with me. Male and female created he them. So God created your body. God created all bodies upon the earth. And God created the human body, the animal body, in 2 different realms, male and female. And God created you a male. You are a male your whole eternity. God created you a female. You're a female for your whole eternity. You can do whatever you want to do to your body, but you will stand before God the way that God created you. Okay? Chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became, say those last 3 words, a living soul. Now, in your Bible, here's what you should do. Underline those words, formed man, and somewhere beside there write the word body. God fashioned a body. Underline the words breath of life. And under those words, or beside those words, write the word spirit. God breathed into that body life, or a spirit. And then you should underline the last 2 words that say living soul. So God created man a trichotomy. He created man a body, soul, and a spirit. And that's how you were created. Now, I don't believe we have any youth in here tonight, so let me just kind of be a little bit free. Well, Pastor, I was created when a male and a female came together, and through that act, I just appeared. Okay, well, I want you to go to Psalm 139. I want you to see a truth about that, because you were not created because of some sexual act. Look, if you would, at Psalm 139. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 11. You should read the whole chapter, but I don't have time for that. Sometimes people underestimate their value because they think that they are the product of a one-night stand. Or they think that they're the product of some kind of weak moment, or they're the product of some kind of accident. Well, the Bible would say it differently about you and about your body. Look, if you would, at verse number 11, David writing here. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, speaking of the Lord, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God sees the same in the daytime as he does in the nighttime. Boy, that ought to just kind of penetrate your mind. We think we get away with things in the dark, but to God, day and dark are the same. He sees perfectly. Now look at verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. When you look at that, he's talking about the creation of the inside of your body. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully, what's that word? Made. So deep within the womb of your mother, there was an act that took place that conceived life, but behind that act were the fingers of God fearfully and wonderfully possessing your veins and putting you together so small that the human eye probably couldn't even see you. But God was fashioning you with his mind, his heart, and his hands, in creating you body, soul, and spirit. You are not the consequence of a foolish act, and you are not the consequence of a mistake or a one-night stand. You're not even the product of two people planning a family. You were created by God. Vitally important. Now, what happened to our bodies after man was created by God is that our bodies fell under the condemnation of sin. Go, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. I want to show you a couple of things here. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to be kind of methodical tonight until I get to a certain point, and then you'll see how all this application will come together. Our bodies were created by God, but our bodies fall under the condemnation of sin. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. That man was Adam. And death by sin, and death by sin, death by sin. So sin came into the world through Adam. Death came into the world because of sin. And so death passed upon all men for that. What are those three words? All have sinned. Okay, so our bodies are under the judgment and condemnation of God against our sin. Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Pastor, why is my body decaying? Why is my body failing? Why does my body seem like it's breaking down? Because that is exactly what sin does to our bodies. See, we think it's age. It's not age that is breaking your body down. It's sin that causes the body to break down. Now, I'm not talking about your individual sin, and I'm not talking about the fact that sin causes sickness, but understand this. Our bodies are under the condemnation and judgment of our sin nature, and therefore, the Bible says the wage of sin is what? Death. The Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die. And so the reason that the human body dies is because of sin. Okay? And go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I can prove to you what I'm saying here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look, if you would, at verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 4, Paul's writing here and he makes some true statements. He says, "For we that are in this tabernacle or in this body do," what's that word? "Groan." If your spouse groans, say amen. Chicken, okay? So we groan. Oh, you get up and you ache, all right? But Paul says, now watch this. "We're in this tabernacle do groan, being," what's that word? "Burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed," not that we would die, "but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life." And so Paul says, my body is under the burden of this sin. And it's not that I want to end my life. I just want this mortality to be swallowed up in life. And Paul was saying, I cannot wait to be freed from the bondage and burden and oppression of sin against my body. I'm glad we're going to get new bodies. Okay? Kind of a scary verse in Matthew chapter 5. You should probably come there and let me show it to you. Matthew chapter 5. Everybody needs to read this verse with their own eyeballs. Jesus is speaking here in Matthew chapter 5 in verse number 29. He tells us something about sin in the body. "If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For that is profitable for thee, that one of thy members should perish, and that not thy whole body should be cast into" what? Into hell. So these bodies that are under the condemnation of sin, these bodies that are bearing the burden of that mortality, of that death sentence, to the person that does not receive the Lord Jesus, they will die. Your body will go back to the dust. Your soul and your spirit will immediately pierce the darkness of hell. And then there will be a day when your soul and your spirit and your body are reunited. And Jesus said that whole body will be cast into hell. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. Think about that. Our bodies were created by God. Our bodies are under the condemnation of sin, but there is hope for our body. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to see some verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the great chapter on the resurrection of Christ. You ought to probably write that at the top of the chapter. Anytime you want to talk to somebody about the resurrection, anytime the resurrection comes up in conversation, 1 Corinthians 15 ought to immediately come to your mind because it's the chapter of that. When you come to verse number 42, Paul's talking about our body. And he's talking about, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. So for us Christians, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, our old body will fall under the condemnation of sin, but praise God, we're going to get a new body. Now, our body that we possess now, by the way, your body's not you. I'm going to show you that in a minute. So when I say the body that we possess now or that we have now, okay, when it yields up the ghost and it goes into the ground, it will be sown in corruption. Remember? Open up the stone and let him out. No, Lord, you cannot let Lazarus out. He's been 4 days. He stinketh, or he's corrupt. So when the body is in there, Job even said, when the worms come and take and digest my body, as it comes back to that dust, sown in corruption, that body will be raised in incorruption. That body will be raised a glorious, fashioned, a new body. Look, if you would, keep reading in verse number 43. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a what class? Spiritual body. Now, if you're going to get a spiritual body, say amen. That's the hope of the gospel. Praise God. So it was written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Praise the Lord. Look at verse number 49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Man, that new body's going to be something. You can read verses 51, 52 and go through the rest of the chapter. And it talks about the hope of the gospel that one day those of us in Christ, we're going to get a new body. All right, so real quickly, your body was created by God, fashioned in your mother's womb. Your body falls under the condemnation of sin. We understand that. We feel the burden of that in our body, the sin is breaking down the human body. Third thing is there's the hope of the gospel that brings to me a new body, but it also brings to me a freedom now in this body. And you ought to read Romans chapter 6 that talks about the ability now that after I've been saved, that with my body I no longer have to serve sin, I can serve the Lord. I'm created new in my nature, and my body does not have to be yielded to members of unrighteousness. It can be yielded members to serve the Lord. All right, so I want to stop there and pivot, and here's where I want to go with the rest of our lesson tonight. I think it is imperative as believers that we understand some things about our body. I think what the Bible says about our body is vastly different than what the world says about our body. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's start there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The first thing that a Christian needs to know and needs to understand is that your body does not belong to you. I'm going to say that again. Pastor or church member, your body, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, does not belong to you. Well, we have a culture that says, this is my body, and I will do what I want to with my body. No Christian has the right to say that. When you got saved, you surrendered the authority of your body to the Lord, which means it, yours doesn't belong to you. Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look, if you would, at verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Now watch this. And ye are not your what class? Own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, there's two times that the Bible says that your body doesn't belong to you. As a Christian, you do not have the right to control your body. You don't have the right to dress your body. You don't have the right to do anything with your body without the permission of God. Just let that sink in a moment. It does not belong to you. The other way in the Bible that says that our body doesn't belong to us is in the context of marriage. Wife, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that your body belongs to your husband. Well, he can just keep his hands off. No, your body belongs to him. It also says, husband, that your body belongs to your wife. The husband has not authority over his own body, but the wife. And the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband. Two times in the Bible where the Bible confronts a Christian and says, you don't own your body. You don't have control over it. It doesn't belong to you. And it belongs to the Lord. And also inside the context of marriage, it doesn't belong to you as well. And so we need to understand that our bodies don't belong to us. Hold your hand here. I want to show you something. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're coming back to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Make your way to verse number 23. Now, we sure do spend a lot of time monkeying with something that doesn't belong to us. And I want you to understand here about an out-of-balance mindset when it comes to your body as a Christian. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look if you would at verse number 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you, how, class? Holy. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and what? Body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so you were created a trichotomy. Now, when I got saved, that whole creation has been redeemed by God. My spirit was redeemed, my soul has been redeemed, and my body has been redeemed. If you agree with that, say amen. All right. Now, therefore, God owns all of me. All right. Now, it's very easy for a Christian to say that God owns my spirit and my soul, but he doesn't own my body. It's also very easy for a Christian to be out of balance in their understanding of what part of us belongs to God. And so we put a lot of the world's opinion, a lot of our own energy, a lot of our own direction into our body. And we concentrate more on our body than we do on our spirit and our soul. And so to us, it almost can sometimes matter that I look good on the outside, but what about my spirit and my soul? We got to be very careful to not exalt the body above the spirit and the soul. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let me give you an example of how that happens. Either you're spellbound or you're lost as could be. I'm going to go with spellbound. It makes me feel better. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look if you would at verse number 8. For bodily exercise profiteth what? Little. But, what's the next word? Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So we live in a culture today where the body is worshipped. We live in a culture today where you are judged according to your body. We live in a culture today that finds its esteem and its value and in its body, in the sculpting of the body, or the fashioning of the body. So much impactful is that, is if you don't appreciate the body that God created for you, you can let the doctor create a body for you. Matter of fact, there's big billboards on 595 that show you where to go. Okay? But a lot of Christians are out of balance in this area. And they're putting all of their effort and concentration on something that doesn't belong to them, to the neglect of their spirit and their soul. Does that mean you need to be out of shape or unhealthy? Absolutely not. You have a responsibility to be a steward of the body that God gave you. But if you've got more concentration on your physical appearance than you do on the Word of God, you're out of balance. Okay? And so your body does not belong to you. You do not have authority over it. Everything about your body needs to fall under the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, why would that be? Because I want you to see how God views your body. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to get a little touchy now, but I'll just read you the Bible verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you look at verse number 19, our bodies are referred to as the temple of the Holy Ghost. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now, for your body to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, that must mean that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Somebody tell me, when does the Holy Spirit come inside of you? And when you're born again. So when the Spirit of God births your spirit, brings you alive in Christ, rescues your soul from condemnation, that body then becomes a beautiful temple of the Holy Ghost. And you and I have a responsibility to reckon that not only do we not own our bodies, but our bodies are the temple of the living God, which really and truthfully brings to our bodies a sacredness. Now, your body is not to be worshipped. But your body, if you know Jesus, is to be regarded as sacred. What do I mean by that? Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look, if you would, for verse number 13. Meats for the belly. Boy, that sure hurts all the vegetarians, doesn't it? Hard to be. You can be one, but the Bible speaks a lot about meat. Meat for the belly, and the belly for meats. The bigger the belly, the bigger the meats. That's not in there. Okay. Now watch this. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for, say that word, fornication. But for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So, and we're going to talk about our body, and we're going to talk about fornication, which is a sexual sin, which is against the body. I'm going to show it to you in just a moment. So Paul's teaching me about my body and my understanding as a believer. Okay, my body doesn't belong to me. I do not have the right to steward my body without the preeminence and direction of God. I also must see my body the same way God sees my body. God sees my body as the temple of the living God, which brings about in my heart and in my mind a sacredness. And so Paul says to the church at Corinth, Your body was not created or given to you for fornication or for pleasure for the body. Your body was given to you for the Lord. Look, if you would, at verse number 15 of this. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one what? Spirit. So what you, where you hook up your body presents a oneness. Now don't lose verse number 18. Flee fornication. Now fornication is any sexual activity outside of the bonds of marriage. That's fornication. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Okay, so what is he talking about here? He's teaching them that my body was not just for sensual pleasure. The body was not just so that you could go out and be involved in that kind of life. The body is for the Lord. Now, when we sin and we commit some kind of fornication or some kind of sexuality, the body remembers that. The body craves that. The body longs for that. Your body begins to have an anticipation. If you unleash your body without the control of the Spirit of God, you're capable of anything. Amen, Pastor. That's why we have to have in our bylaws against bestiality, pedophilia, other sexual sins. Now, to the Christian mind, you would think, how would that ever happen? But that body has the condemnation in the imagination of evil. And if you unleash your body, the desire and craving of that body will take a person further than they want to go. Now, Paul says, now, wait a minute. Your body's not for that, Christian. Your body doesn't belong to you. It's the temple of the living God. It's viewed as sacred. Don't give it to fornication. Render it unto the Lord. Okay. Let me show you how sacred the body is. Go to Leviticus chapter 19. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. 19. Come to verse number 20. Oh man, I wrote down the wrong verse. No, I didn't. I wrote the right verse. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now in verse number 23, he's writing here, and he's writing to the nation. And he says, and when ye shall come into the land. Now, were you here when Brother Hugh preached Sunday morning? Remember he preached about in the land? And he said, the promised land is not heaven. The promised land is that spirit-filled Christian life and the blessing of that God brings you to. So in the Old Testament, when God gives instruction to the nation of Israel and says, when you get into the land, he's talking about their promised land. But the application for us can be the spirit-filled life. So basically, when you get to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23, he's talking about here activities that should be about a Christian in that spirit-filled life. And if you come down to verse number 28, there's a mention about the body. Okay? Or actually verse 26. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood. All right? So you need to at least cook your food. You shouldn't eat blood. You shouldn't drink blood. You shouldn't let anybody watch anything where they eat or drink blood. Anytime you see somebody eating or drinking blood, it's demonic. You're welcome for that. How in the world Christian parents let their kids go and watch Dracula and these sucking blood kind of romantic kind. Don't you understand what you're doing? Just open up hell and let it all come in. I'm going to show it to you right here. You shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use enchantment, nor observe times. You shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beards. This was how they were supposed to be a testimony. Verse 28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Now, printing marks upon somebody is a what? It's a tattoo. So even the Lord, all the way back with the nation, he said, now listen, don't let your body be involved in demonism. Don't suck and eat the blood. Don't use the enchantments. Don't do rituals for the dead. What he means by that in verse number 28 is don't cut in your flesh and don't print anything upon your body for the dead. You are to use your body, verse 28, on an understanding of who your Lord is. Go to chapter 21. Look at verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. But for his kin that is near unto him, that is for his mother, for his father, for his son, for his daughter, his brother, for his sister, a virgin that is nigh unto him, which hath no husband for her, may he be defiled. But he shall not defile himself being a chief man among his people. Now watch this. To profane who, class? Himself. They shall not make baldness upon their heads, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beards, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. They shall be holy unto their God and not profane the name of their God. For the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God they do offer, therefore they shall be holy. So even all the way back for the nation of Israel, their body was being used in a way to profane humanity or to profane himself. It was used in a way of demonism. And what they said was that the effect of that was there was cuttings or marking on the flesh. Well, Pastor, I have a tattoo and I'm here tonight and I'm not a demon worshiper. I understand that. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, when you go back to the history, that's where they begin to cut themselves and that's where that ritual began. And so when you look at your body, you can go to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 28. You can go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 5. And you will find that you are to view your body as the temple of the living God. Now, being saved, we love this church. Amen? And we're not going to let anybody take anything and paint on the outside of this building anything. It'll have a painting, it'll have a covering, it'll look beautiful. But we're not going to put marks on the church. Why? Because we have respect for that. You ought to have respect for your body. Now, what you did prior to being saved is under the blood. Aren't you glad all sin is under the blood? So we got guys in here, got tattoos. We got girls that got tattoos. You bend over, I see them. You'd be amazed at what I've seen from this vantage point right here. Yeah? All right? I'm not telling you to cover it up. I'm telling you to have some understanding. And here's the understanding. Your body is sacred. God made it that way. He redeemed it. Those actions have demonic roots. I don't believe that should be what a Christian ought to do. Well, Pastor, my tattoo gives glory to the Lord. Well, the Bible said that you're to glorify God in your body, not on your body. Paul said this, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. Now, Paul didn't go out and get tattoos of verses and people and faces, and he didn't cut himself. You know what his marks were? They stoned him. They whooped him. He had marks of persecution, and when you would look at his body, they would see those marks upon his body. And Paul said, I have those marks for the Lord, but the glorying of God ought to take place in our bodies. And so I know our culture is different, and I know our church, that churches even can teach different, and things can be celebrated, but when you look at that body, it's the temple of the living God. If you agree with that, say amen. Okay. Let me show you something else about a body that you better understand. Go to Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 11. Am I doing okay on time? What time? 7:53. If I go just a smidge long, would you forgive me? That was not very assuring. Proverbs chapter 5. I just think this is something that ought to ought to understand as a Christian that even though our bodies are sacred, as far as not that they're in deity, but that they belong to the Lord, they're the temple of the living God, they ought to be viewed that way, they ought to be cared for that way. Verse number one, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman, this is talking about a whore, basically, somebody's not his wife. The lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, O ye children. Depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are what? Consumed. Men, Solomon's teaching his son, immorality will destroy you. It will consume your flesh, and it will consume your body at the end. A lot of reasons for a man not to have an affair. There's a lot of reasons for a man to stay away from a woman like this. But when you read these verses and these instructions, sin has a price. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. Our bodies are sacred. And our bodies are to reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our bodies are very, very temptable. And sometimes we can think that our body can handle something when our body really can't handle that. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Solomon said, don't even go to her house. Don't even drive by to see if she's home. Don't even check and see where she is on Facebook, lest you get ensnared. Sin will crush your body. By the way, all sin crushes the body. It's interesting. I'll skip a couple of points and I'll close. What are we supposed to do with our body? Two passages, Philippians chapter 1, if you'll make your way there. If you take nothing else home, take this with you, verse number 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my what class? My body. Our bodies are to magnify Christ. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 teach us that our bodies are to be presented to the Lord a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. You take you a concordance and you look up the word body and you start from Genesis and you make your way all the way through and you will find that the Bible says a lot about your body. Okay, the number one thing some Christians, people need to understand, it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to the Lord. God views my body as His temple, therefore it's sacred to God. Therefore, it ought to be sacred to me. Now, there's a pull in our bodies, and our bodies can pull us in a negative direction. Romans chapter 6 is vital to getting victory over sin of your body. And I would encourage you to read that and you will find that it is only the power of the Holy Spirit of God that will give you victory over sin in your body. Our bodies are to reflect the person of Christ, not a culture. They're not to reflect some kind of society. They're not even really to reflect our own expression. Wasn't it Madonna that used to sing the song, "Express Yourself"? Am I dating myself? Is there anybody in this room that doesn't know who Madonna is? Just express yourself. To a Christian, everything about us ought to express Christ. Okay? Sin will destroy your body. It doesn't have to be controlled by sin. Your body is to magnify the Lord. It's to be guarded. It's to be kept. It's to be treasured. It's not to be discarded. It's not to be mistreated. It's not to be hated. And I will close with this. Pastor, I don't like my body. I don't like the way I look. I don't like that. Let me tell you something. God took his two hands and he took his fingers and he fashioned your body perfectly. Now, you may have mistreated your body and your body has fallen in or out of shapeliness or comeliness. But you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Stop worrying about what other people think about your body and just think about what God thinks about it. Amen. Good lesson. Let's pray.